like scary movies and watered-down true crime? Then this is the podcast for you. We've been best friends for almost 30 years, and we've been getting high while watching movies together for most of it. Now we want to share that with you. So pour your white wine on ice and prepare your bud any way you choose. Because what would be girls' night without a little THC? Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of THC True Hollywood Crime. I'm your host Mariah, this is your host Bailey.
Your favorite Easter Bunny.
And it's Zombie Jesus weekend.
It sure is.
Jesus Zombie.
Absolutely.
No offense to our religious people.
What's good about it? They came back.
Hi everybody, welcome to Easter weekend. And hope you're having a glass of wine with us, a drink. Hope you're having a good weekend. Hope you're having a long weekend. My kids are out for a four-day weekend.
That's a mess. That's so much because they just had break.
We just had spring break because we have our spring break earlier than
just
the rest
go
of the country.
Just go to school.
For real. All right. How's it going? What are we doing?
So because we're on to spring break, I don't have a whole lot as far as news because I had to be like an actual person, like out in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was rough.
For a whole week.
Mm-hmm. So I went and I took Violet to spend the week with my parents. And then we spent 2 days in Monterey, which was beautiful, and went to the aquarium and then came back. And it was our friend Jonathan's birthday. And then right back into a full work week that tried to kill me. And then, like we said, even though they were out for a week and they had school this week, there was a half day.
Yeah.
And then they're out. Yeah. And then they're out Friday and Monday. I'm like, they didn't do a fucking thing this week.
Yeah.
They didn't do a goddamn thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I know.
And then.
And my kids still had the nerve to complain.
I don't
want to go to school. I'm like, you're barely there.
Yeah. And we have both said tonight that we're in like disbelief that Easter's tomorrow.
You haven't done a thing.
Yeah. It sneaks right up
on you. You've done a bunch of stuff to get ready.
Last night.
Yeah. I was just talking to you about what Easter dessert I wanted to make and realized I didn't have time to
happen.
Make it.
Nope.
I'm going to have to go buy a cake.
Mm-hmm.
Or
damn.
Whatever.
How disappointing. But yeah.
I'm going to buy a carrot cake, so I'm the only one that eats it.
Absolutely. And then the fact that we blink and it's already going to be April, crazy.
Might as well be summer.
It's crazy.
It might as well be summer.
So that's it. That's where we're at. This is life.
Disgusting.
It is.
Which is crazy because it's so rainy right now, but we're going to blink our eyes and it's going to be summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to figure out what do you do with children during the summer? I don't know. Every summer is a different time for me to figure it out.
There you go. That's all we do every day. Rinse, wash, repeat.
Our friend Jonathan's birthday, that was fun. So depending on how much y'all have paid attention for the past couple years, I was laughing because I have the March curse. We're now going to start calling it March Madness.
Yes.
But in the past couple years, the only times that I have gotten so embarrassingly blackout drunk has been in the month of March. 2 years ago for my little brother's wedding, which I know I've told this story on there. It was so embarrassing.
One of my personal favorites.
And horrific. And I still feel a lot of shame about it. Although I didn't do anything that bad.
You didn't.
But just getting that drunk makes me feel an immense amount of shame.
I know exactly that feeling.
And guilt. Uh-huh. Especially at like a family event.
Your little brother's wedding.
Yeah, but I wasn't the only one. So
of course not.
It's the saving grace of like how I got so drunk at your wedding is the fact that like I
wasn't
Everyone.
Alone. Everyone. Yeah.
I wasn't mm-hmm. alone. And then last March was our infamous Buffalo Wild Wings escapades.
It was really wild.
You and I had a day and we went out to the movies and we drank a lot, but then we had the nerve to blame Buffalo Wild Wings. Like it was their fault that we drank as much as we drank without eating
all day. I stand
by
that.
I mean, fuck it. You can blame them. I don't care. I haven't drank there since. I can tell you that much. And again, a gross amount of shame came along with that that day. I was so embarrassed. And now it didn't happen this March, but we did go out for our friend's birthday. I got him that drunk.
It was incredible.
But I was just on the hanging border. On. Mm-hmm. I got it. I reeled it in.
You're like, I can do this.
Yep. So, you know, I don't know if it broke the March curse or if it still counts as March Madness, but
there's always tomorrow. And let's see what happens tonight. I still have to make baskets.
Definitely not happening tonight. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that much. But we'll see what happens next March. I have a whole year to pull myself back together.
Love it.
That's so silly.
It is.
And what else did we do? We cut your hair.
We absolutely
first
did.
Time in forever that we cut your hair.
Brought my hair back to life. That's the theme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gave you a good old choppy chop. And other than that, I haven't been doing too much. I mean, I have reviews.
Good, because I don't. But I do have some funny Easter stuff. So March 26th was this year's Cadbury Bunny campaign or whatever, mm-hmm. where they
try to find a new one.
I guess they have like tryouts for their mascot for the year.
Yeah, that's the commercial they've always had.
They picked Louie the raccoon.
Love him.
Uh-huh. From Florida.
Oh.
So it's like Florida news.
A real trash panda.
Uh-huh. So that was cute. 2-year-old Louie the raccoon. And then
I can't believe he hasn't popped up on your TikTok yet.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm still very much my newest one. I sent it to Jackie. I'm assuming he's Australian based on the accent, but he rescued a wombat.
Okay.
That his little girl carries around the farm like a rag doll. Like mm-hmm. they're best friends.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, his farm is a guinea pig farm.
Oh.
And his videos, he's like, look at these wild pigs out on the farm. And
that's so funny.
It's so cute. So I'm like, my pig farm could still be a reality, just not actual pigs.
Would you ever go to Australia?
It's a long flight.
It is a long flight, and I don't want to do it. Now, I don't know if this will entice you or not. There is a month-long cruise.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out to sea for a long fucking time, though.
Which is also scary, but yeah.
It is super scary because it's the middle of the goddamn Pacific. Right. I'm like one little cruise ship out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But if you survive it, they do Australia, New Zealand, and then they also do like some of that like I mean, like maybe Samoa, Tonga, sure. They hit up some of the other islands
incredible.
Along the way. And I was like, I mean, I could do a month on a cruise ship. I don't like the idea of being in the middle of the ocean for that long.
Yeah.
But if something goes wrong.
It'll be in my retirement. I'll get eaten by sharks. I'll die.
Right. Well, I'm just saying if something goes wrong on a cruise ship, you're already connected to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's GPS. Someone will find you.
But
they'll
you are,
us.
Like you're saying, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but they'll find us.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Something that Norwegians are having a hard time finding is eggs.
Oh, it's an egg shortage?
Yeah, and they celebrate Easter, so this is a real pickle for them. They're having to jump the border over to neighboring Sweden to get their cartons.
Oh, why don't they have any eggs?
I guess it got like really competitive, the market or something. And so they started just selling other places. And so there was less and less. And then.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. Something else that's a little crazy is every year the Norwegians have this love for like Easter crime.
Oh.
It's a big tradition.
I know this.
You do?
Yeah. When I was trying to find something for Easter.
Yay. Okay. So from what I kind of understood is they get a lot of time off for Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this downtime, these authors back in the day took the opportunity to come up with a crime novel that they released for Easter weekend.
Okay.
And people read it and it blew up. It was like this phenomenon. Like people were wild over this book. And so because of this, I guess they started coming out with like new ones every Easter. Mm-hmm. And it just became a true crime theme for the holiday.
Because it definitely, if you Google
Norwegians.
Easter, no, not even Norwegian. If you're Googling Easter true crime.
And that's what comes
articles
up.
Articles about that pops
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's funny.
There you go.
All right. My Norway.
Tidbits there. And then let's do your reviews. And then I have one piece of past pod.
So my reviews are a little lame.
Good.
So I'm a little late to the party on this one. First of all, have I talked about House of Dragons on here?
Yes.
Okay, so that's done. Check that off the list. I want to see Dune 2.
Okay.
So I rewatched Dune 1.
Mm-hmm. Timothée and Zendaya.
Yes. Who I love both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I tried to watch it, when it first came out on streaming, because it was only released on streaming because it was COVID.
I don't even know what it's about.
It's fine. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, they spent all that money making it,
mm-hmm.
and then it was COVID happened.
Mm.
And so they couldn't release it in theaters. They released it to streaming. I tried to watch it. In all fairness, I fell asleep. But, you know, that's not necessarily the movie's fault. I fall asleep during movies a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So I rewatched it, and I'm happy to report it's great.
Yay!
It was really good. Okay. It was really, really good.
Well, that's fun.
And now I'm excited to see the second one. So I'm going to go see the second one by myself this week.
Cool.
And I'll report back next podcast.
Yay.
Because my husband has no interest, and our baseball schedule is so fucking busy that there's no time to even get him.
But God forbid they have it on a Tuesday or a Thursday.
Well, that's the thing.
I know.
It's Tuesday's practice.
Practice.
Monday's game. Tuesday, Wednesday practice. Thursday's off. Friday practice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what the fucking schedule is.
Yeah.
All I know
is a lot.
I'll be going to Dune by myself. Oh,
it's so cute.
Plus, he's like, I can't stay in a movie theater for that long.
Yeah.
Because it's like almost 3 hours.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you. All I know is it's in the sand.
Lots of sand.
I think
that's one of the reasons I fell asleep is because, one, they all whisper. Like, like they're very quiet talkers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like the sand. And
so it's all like ASMR.
And you're like, and it feels warm.
Ooh.
You're like,
don't use your heated blanket while watching this movie.
I probably was.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened. And Lou and I started watching, I have not finished it, but Super Pumped, Battle for Uber.
Never heard
it's
of it.
It's on Netflix right now. It was originally a Showtime show. It stars our favorite, Joshua Gordon, love it.
Ooh.
And it's the story of Uber.
Yeah.
How Uber started. But it's great. It's entertaining.
Fine.
I didn't think I would like it, and I ended up getting like sucked into it.
How long are the episodes?
Like 45 minutes.
That's not too bad.
It's like a drama.
Okay.
So I can't recommend the whole thing because I haven't watched the whole thing. But so every episode's been a good one so far. Mm-hmm. It's very, what's that Facebook movie with something out of pocket. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
With the one guy?
Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny because we were just talking about Zombieland.
Right.
Oh my God. What is the name of that?
Apple.
Anyways, it's like that and also a little bit like, I don't know if you guys ever watched Silicon Valley.
I love that show.
Lou loves that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that was good.
So it's like those two kind of had a baby.
Yeah.
And it's super pumped.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So there you go.
While I was with my parents, I don't watch TV, but my dad just has TV on all the time.
Yeah.
But one thing that they watch when they have to, like it was March Madness and they don't like basketball. So they're like, oh, fuck it. So we'll just watch this. It's like a HGTV. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But people win the lottery.
It's Lou's favorite show of all
time.
My Lottery Dream House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut
he
up.
Watches it almost every day.
Oh my gosh.
And with the tall man.
Lots of tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. It's funny because I really don't like the people most of the time.
And I don't like the houses.
Yeah.
It's always a great reminder to stay my ass in California.
Yeah, like
that's what the houses look like in Arkansas. I'm good.
But that's what they were watching and I did enjoy it. Like it was a hate watch where you're just like, really? Ugh.
No, and in fact, if you can find it, there for sure is an episode that takes place near where we live.
That would be fun.
And I called it too. I was watching it before I found out where they were from. Just something about the woman, something about both of them, but something about her, the way she was dressed, the way she carries herself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's a NorCal girl. I'm like, I can spot a NorCal woman from a mile of fucking way.
Yeah.
And I was right,
yeah.
Right here in our own backyard. So that was pretty exciting.
Okay.
No, Lou's favorite show. He either is watching that or some dumbass street racing show. That's pretty much it. Or sports.
Yeah. And that my dad, it was all history,
mm-hmm.
news.
Boring.
Sports.
Who wants to watch the news? Well, you want to be depressed?
I know. Well, that's how he stays up to date.
Okay. Is there anything worth saying?
Mainly,
up to date
I think
about?
I think he watches the weather.
Oh.
I think he really looks forward to the weather.
Yeah, yeah. Has he seen the weather app?
An app.
You just Google it.
You're kidding? His fucking car is all run off of my mom's phone. Yeah. Like, I think when he gets in, it's like, hi, Lori.
Yeah. Is he enjoying his Cybertruck?
Loves it.
Does he?
Loves it.
The dumbest looking car I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But he's happy.
It. That's everything. It goes so fast.
Ooh.
And it's so smooth. Okay. And it's very roomy. But they need, they're kind of afraid to go on adventures.
Yeah.
Because
you gotta know where your charging stations are.
So for instance, on this trip to Monterey, it was just my mom and Violet and I, girls trip. And we went to the shopping mall, assuming that there would be charging stations there.
Oh, you guys went in the Cybertruck?
No, we went in her car, but okay. We were looking.
Oh, just to see.
Yeah, well, we were going to go shopping anyways. And so we're like, obviously, if we're in a shopping mall, like this would be the perfect spot for a charging station. And of course, there's a charging station. It's a Tesla charging station. So you would have to have an adapter, or the other kind of charger that they had is like you leave your car overnight. It's like, okay, so I'm going to go sleep at the Macy's? Like,
yeah. Lou and I literally were just talking about this because we saw a commercial for a Genesis car, which I guess sponsors LeBron. But Lou says they're really nice and they're electric and they have like an SUV with the 3-row seating, which is what we would need. And I'm like, I'm not opposed to getting an electric vehicle. We're a road trip family.
And that's
so
it.
We're like, we're trying to figure it out. And so I was talking to him. I'm like, can you use the Tesla ones? He said, no, but like lots of places have regular ones. I'm like, I don't care about the places around town. He's like, well, yeah. And then remember when we went to LA last year? Like they were all over the place. I'm like, yeah, that's LA. I need middle of Highway 5 needs to have them. I need to know what rest stops have them in the middle of the highway.
Where my parents are at.
Yeah.
So of course, far as they've gone, it's here.
So you can't put gas in it at all?
No.
Because there are cars that you can do both. Either or.
Yeah,
that's the smart move, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
So, but he loves
it. Because with gas prices nowadays, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And then we'll save it for the end. My smell review.
Oh.
Or our new smell to smell.
Okay.
Because I told you I went, when we were at the mall, we went to Lush.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to smell something there. And then there was a Sephora.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's been all over TikTok that Bath & Body Works has officially released a set of dupes. Which I've
They've
been saying,
got multiple collections out right now that are supposed to be killing it.
Yeah. And I've been saying that. What is that one called?
Starry Night Stars.
Or Into the Stars is a Baccarat dupe.
Yeah. Violet got a bunch of the hand sanitizers. Yeah. So I have one in my bag for tonight. Cause it's,
Does it smell like it?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely. But apparently there's a Bridgerton collection.
Oh.
And one of the scents is supposed to be an even better Baccarat dupe.
Well, in all fairness, the Stars one, they weren't trying to make a dupe.
No.
It just reminds me of.
It's a similar warmth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have not watched Bridgerton.
Neither.
I heard it's really good, though.
The collection's cute as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the candle holders is a crown.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard it's good. I heard it's a little steamy, spicy.
I bet you would love it. You'd have to let me know.
All right.
Drop it in the comments, listeners, if you've watched it.
Bridgerton. I need something new to binge watch. That's the thing is Lou tries new shows and I'll watch them over his shoulder. Like, I didn't review it because I didn't watch the whole thing, but he just got done watching Reacher.
I watched it.
I watched it too. And what I watched was fine.
Yeah.
But like he watched another new show tonight. I've never even seen or heard of it. He's always like trying new shows. And I'm so opposite of that. I'm like, I'll just
go to what I like.
I'm just going to watch Shameless all over again, starting from episode one.
I want to watch Stranger Things starting from episode one because I feel like it's been 10,000 years.
Yeah, I definitely. Maybe the last season.
I think I remember the last season pretty well. I just don't remember how it connects to anything else that happened before that.
Because I don't remember much about last season. The season before that's the one with the brother with the mullet, right? Yeah, because the standoff's at the mall. So
spoiler
this
alert,
season,
that's when he ends up getting deceased.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then this last season, spoiler alert, it's been 72 years since it was out.
I don't know.
And then the last season was the one where she kept going over to like the other world.
The sister.
Yeah, the redhead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Homeboy's girlfriend.
She's trapped.
Yeah, there. And they keep having to like pull her back and they have to go back and forth.
With Vecna.
Yeah.
Who's like Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And is Freddy Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I should probably rewatch that.
Mm-hmm. But that's the, yeah, I agree with you. I want to do a rewatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just rewatched House of the Dragons. Get ready for June. And then when do Stranger Things come out?
10 million years. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Because I know the new trailer just dropped.
Oh, okay then. The Beetlejuice one has also dropped. I will not watch it. I don't want to see anything. I don't want any spoilers. I don't want to see anything. I have not read anything. I'm nervous.
I just have been disappointed by so many sequels.
I'm prepared to be disappointed. Mm. That's also why, like, I don't want to see anything. Because I don't want to be disappointed up front. Like, let me be disappointed once I get there.
Also, they've announced a Boondock Saints 3, talking about disappointing fucking sequels.
Okay. Weird opinion. I didn't hate the second one.
I hated
everyone else did.
Second of it.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, it's funny because it's terrible.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, it was watchable.
I've never watched it again.
Questionable.
I've watched the first one about a million times. Never rewatched the second one. Not even one time. It was god awful. So I don't know what the fuck Troy Duffy's going to do for the third one, but he better get his shit together.
Amen.
Good
and
Lord.
That's a great Easter note too. Super Catholic.
That is super Catholic. You know? I've also heard good things about, because I'm so done with The Walking Dead. I've been done for years.
Oh, gave up.
But I heard Rick and Michonne's spinoff is really good.
I bet it is.
Rick is looking hot.
Yeah.
Looking way better than he did on the show.
Yeah.
So I heard it's pretty good.
Which makes me believe that they're not fighting enough zombies. If he's looking that good.
Yeah.
No right to be looking that good in an apocalypse.
I don't know. Daryl always looked real good in the apocalypse. All right. Enough of that.
I know. We'll get it together. All right. Real quick. My past pod news.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Please.
The happy face killer claims he's been cured in prison and he'll never commit another crime.
I swear to God, guys.
In a chilling new letter written from behind bars where he's serving time for strangling 8 women. The best part is like all these desperate letters are written to female journalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still trying to have power.
I'm cured.
I swear to God, guys, I'll never do it again. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
God.
This is just weeks after we mentioned before that they recently found the unidentified California woman.
Yeah.
And that her DNA was matched.
That piece of shit. Let him rot in prison for life.
Absolutely.
Fuck off.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, before we get into this, if you want to play along to our THC drinking game, take a drink of whatever you're drinking, even if it's non-alcoholic.
Chamomile tea.
Yeah, if you're at work, you're having your coffee or your Stanley full of water. Anytime we mention a past THC episode, a badass big sister, our favorite TV show, Monk, if we spill something, if we cheers, or if we finish each other's sentences, bonus drink when you hear us name the episode.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what we're going to name it yet, but you'll figure it out when you hear it. Are you ready? Is that everything?
I know. It's crazy. I feel like we're so on top of it.
I just don't think. I think all we've been doing is working. And so we have nothing to fucking talk about. Okie dokie, artichokies. This week, Bailey found this case, which is one that I knew about and has always been on the back burner. But it caught your attention because I guess the movie takes place over Easter weekend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or kicks off on Easter.
Pretty much.
This week we are doing the death of Kathy Page, and the movie is
8 billboards.
Yes. 8's a lot of billboards.
That would be 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it is definitely based on a true story, but it more of like inspired by.
Yeah.
It is. Sorry if you guys hear my children screaming in the background. It's just the way it goes.
Children.
I have seen that movie, and I remember liking that movie a lot. I think I've only watched it once, but it was great, and it won a bunch of awards and Oscars, and the star of it, I mean, she always does such an incredible job.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear your review of it, because had you ever seen it before?
So I thought we had already done it. Because I thought I had seen it before, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what I think happened is Nick probably watched it, Mm. And I was like, oh, this seems really serious. And I'm sure I just tapped the fuck out.
Like, that looks boring.
Like, you're stupid.
Yeah. And once again, this podcast has forced you to watch a real movie.
And once again, I've been proven wrong because it was a fucking great movie.
Great movie. But yeah, once again, you know, it's not really based on the true story. But so we'll get into it.
Well, yeah.
I love these episodes because I love to hear how different it is from one another.
And for a holiday episode, we got to work with what we've got.
I got everything from an article on truecrimeedition.com, on unsolved.com, and a good old episode of Crime Junkie.
Oh, yeah.
The real professionals who are doing a great job really researching things. So shout out to them. Riding a bus across the U.S., a British writer and director named Martin McDonough is moved when he sees a series of billboards along the side of I-10 in Vidor, Texas. The billboards are about the murder of a woman, Kathy Page, and how the local police department has butchered the case and that the owner of the billboards knows who did it. And he names names on the billboards. The person who made these billboards is James Fulton, and his daughter, Kathy, was murdered in May of 1991.
Okay.
1991, Vidor, Texas. 34-year-old Kathy Page has recently separated from her husband, Stephen Page. They were married for 13 years. They have two young daughters together, Erin and Monica. Now, Steve has just moved out of the family home, like that week.
Yeah.
But Kathy asks him to stay the night with the girls so she can go out to have a little girls' night out with her friend, Charlotte.
Okay.
However, there is no actual girls' night. She's actually meeting a man that she's been talking to at a hotel.
Okay.
A little hookup. Mm-hmm. A little booty call action. She leaves her house around 11 o'clock to make her way to the next town over. It's about 15 minutes away to meet the man in his hotel. 5 a.m. the next day, which is May 14th, police are, I don't know how they find the car wreck. Maybe somebody finds it and calls them, or maybe they're just doing like driving around town and they see it.
Sure.
But they happen upon a car wreck. It is Kathy's black Mercury Tracer found nose down in a ditch about 100 yards away from her house.
Okay.
Kathy is inside in the driver's seat and she is clearly dead. She has been that way for a bit. And she's cold. She's stiff. She's been there for a little bit. Now, at first glance, it looks like an accident. Maybe she was on her way home and she lost control of the car, whatever. But there's a lot wrong with the scene.
Okay.
First of all, the car is nose down in a ditch, right?
Yeah.
Kathy is not wearing a seatbelt and her body is leaned back on her seat against her headrest.
Yeah, that's...
Also...
Even I know that's not right physics.
Right. She had a soda, an opened soda, and her purse. So soda probably in a cup holder, purse on the seat next to her, on the passenger seat. Neither thing was tipped over or spilled.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's no exterior damage to the car whatsoever. And Kathy has grass and dirt on her clothing. But... there's no grass or dirt like on the car, in the car. If she's in the car, why would she have grass and dirt on her clothes?
Right.
Her body never left the car.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah.
If she had this accident.
Right. So something had to have happened prior to have gotten the stains.
Lead detective Ray Mosley is on the scene. He knows Kathy because he grew up with her soon to be ex-husband, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
He's known Steve his whole life. So he makes the walk to the house to break the news.
Okay.
Again, this is very early in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. Steve answers the door. He's clearly already awake and has been awake. He answers the door in his underwear, which people see as a bit of a red flag. It's early in the morning. Would my dad do that? No. My dad would put on at least shorts first.
Yeah.
My dad was not the type of guy to ever walk around the house in his underwear. He right. always got dressed. Mm-hmm. My stepdad, on the other hand, fucking lives in his underwear.
Yeah.
And he will absolutely answer the door to a stranger.
There are underwear people.
He is an underwear person. He doesn't give a fuck who sees him.
Yes.
So, you know, whether that's a red flag to you or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what is a big red flag is as soon as Steve answers the door, he immediately asks the detective if this is about his wife, Kathy, and lets him know right off the bat, she's not here. I haven't seen her. And it's like, okay. And then he looks over to the crash site, like subconsciously. He knows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After learning about Kathy's death, Steve becomes hysterical, screaming and howling and going on and on and on. But the detective notices the fact that there's no actual tears coming out of his eyes.
Okay.
He's just, you know, elaborate. Making a scene. Mm-hmm. I have a quote from Detective Mosley. Says, quote, he said, well, his wife was not home and directly looked straight down the street towards where the car was. Steve seemed to be quite upset. He began to cry and at times threw himself on the couch crying. But yet he would jump right back up and we were talking and there would be no signs of tears in his eyes. This seems strange to me.
A grown man throwing themselves mm-hmm. on the couch crying.
But not crying. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
Kathy's parents arrive within the hour and Kathy's mom noticed that Steve's acting super weird. Pacing, really unsettled, biting his nails. She also noticed that he has scratches on his arms and I think she said maybe on his neck. And he's currently doing laundry. And his excuse for the doing laundry is that one of the girls wet the bed. And so it's the sheets and the laundry.
But
which, fair enough. Nobody ever corroborates that.
Okay.
But because he's doing laundry, there's also a large pile of clothes just on the living room floor. And he's like, yeah, I'm doing laundry. So I just put a big fucking pile of clothes there.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Do you do that, though, in the early mornings when your spouse has just been murdered?
No. No.
Sorry, died in a car accident.
Right.
We know that didn't happen because the autopsy comes in and it shows that Kathy was strangled to death after she was severely beaten, leaving her with a broken nose. They also find bloodstains on her underwear and skin, but no bloodstains inside the car.
Mm-hmm.
She has either had sex or been raped before the murder. Semen is found in her body, but there's no sperm in the semen, which means that the person who did it had a vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who has had a vasectomy within the last few months?
Her husband.
Steve.
Yeah.
Now, the guy that she went to see in the hotel, he gives full cooperation to the police. No problem being questioned. He agrees to take a polygraph and passes it with flying colors, which
who
as
cares?
We talk about a lot, yeah. Polygraphs or whatever. But I think your willingness to take one is probably a good sign.
Yeah.
That he's like, yeah, you know, test me, like whatever. He tells the police that Kathy left the hotel around 2:30 a.m. She was wearing white jeans with a gray top, and she was all made up. She had full hair, full makeup, wearing all of her jewelry. The reason this is important is when she's found in the car, she has a clean face. She's taken off all of her jewelry. She's also not wearing socks, and she has on like some different clothing than that.
Interesting.
Her sister Sherry is quick to point out that this would be conducive with her nighttime routine, which of course is to wash her face, take off her jewelry, put on her lotion.
The no socks is a red flag for me. No.
Yeah, of course. Now, Steve is not questioned until 2 days later. He is quick to tell the police about some possible blood stains on his living room floor because Kathy's habit was to shave her legs in the living room.
Never.
And she cut herself and
never.
Bled on the floor. So if you guys find blood drops, it's from Kathy shaving her legs in the middle of the living room.
Because even if you are shaving your legs in the living room, you're probably doing it with an electric razor, which isn't going to cut you bad enough to make you bleed. I'm just, no one shaves in their living room to begin with. No. But, and then again, you have a towel. I can't, no, no, no.
And he admits to having sex with her before her date, that they had a little hookup before she went out. Coincidentally, on the living room floor where she was shaving her legs.
Yeah. So it could have been sex blood.
No, it's shaving her legs blood. And if you find any semen, it's because she willingly had sex with him on the living room floor, right where she, right in her shave her leg spot.
Her shave the legs.
Also, also, he had recently spilled fish grease on that exact same spot on the floor, which explains why him and his family have been trying to clean that spot on the floor
so much.
Because
yeah.
he spilled fish grease, even though if he had a pan, he had to get rid of grease. There's a back door in the kitchen. So instead of going out the back door with the fish grease pan, he trailed it all the way through the living room, didn't leave any grease trail, spilled it right there on the semen and blood spot, and then walked out the front door with it.
Wow.
And he's been trying to clean it ever since because it smells terrible. This helps explain a scene that Kathy's family walked in on a few days after her death, which is Steve and his family scrubbing the living room floor, yeah. which was really that's when it really hit home to Kathy's family that this motherfucker is suspicious. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
The police, however, don't search the house.
Why? Right? Why would you?
Why would you? Right. Why would you want any evidence?
What a waste of time to just check this fucking sus-ass guy out.
So here's what we know. We know that Kathy told Steve about her girls' night out with Charlotte. Kathy then tells Charlotte, do not answer your phone, because she knows that Steve is controlling and jealous and that he would be trying to, like, catch her in a lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Steve does call Charlotte, and fucking Charlotte answers the phone. So clearly Charlotte's not out at a bar with Kathy.
Right.
She's at home. We also know, because of phone records, that Steve finds the number to the hotel, like Kathy had written down on a piece of paper.
Okay.
This is 91. So I'm picturing, I don't know if this is true, what I'm picturing is a wall-mounted phone with a little, like, message pad underneath, you know, hanging sure. on the wall. I'm picturing Roseanne. You know what I mean? You know Why Roseanne's not? Phone?
Of course, yeah.
This is what's in my head.
I love it.
So he finds it picture. On the little piece of yeah. pad paper underneath Written the phone. Right there. He calls the hotel and basically confirms that it's a hotel. That's what we know. Now, what Kathy's dad thinks happens from there is that Kathy comes home, starts getting ready for bed, gets into a fight with Steve. It escalates. It turns physical. Steve ends up raping Kathy and strangling her to death, whether on purpose or on accident. Who knows? And then stages the crime scene.
Logical.
Steve is named the prime suspect in the investigation, but he is never officially arrested.
Okay.
He's also claiming to police that he's also getting these, like, threatening phone calls saying that if he, like, talks or if he does this, that, or the other, that the same thing that happened to Kathy is going to happen to him.
Right.
Right. He also wants it to be known that being named the prime suspect is the police just running, like, a smear campaign against Typical. Him to, like, tarnish his name. Now, Dad James is pissed.
Thank you, Dad James.
He thinks it's obvious that the guy they should be arresting is Steve. And so he takes it upon himself to erect billboards on his own property on the side of the highway, which okay. we said was I-10. They vary in messages over the years. He changes them here and there. But basically the message is always that his daughter was raped and murdered by Steve Page, that the local police have botched the investigation, and that they should be investigated by the DA. And he'll put up pictures of Kathy and Steve.
I love this salty bitterness.
Yeah.
To no end.
Absolutely.
I'm here for this so hard.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Let's go, James.
So I think that's my biggest disappointment in the movie is that they didn't have it be a dad. So mm-hmm. often it's the mom
yeah.
standing up, especially for the rape and murder of a daughter.
Yeah.
How refreshing it would have been to see a dad.
I think the mom, I think the woman thing, though, just adds that extra element of it's really like her versus the world.
I get that. But just after doing this podcast with you, it would have been so nice.
Yeah. And I mean, her story as is so compelling. You it could is. Have done exactly. this story and it would have been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. After her burial, multiple times they go to visit her grave and find the flowers that they had previously left are like scattered all around the gravesite, the graveyard. And so James hires a private investigator and puts him on the case. And this PI films piece of shit Steve.
Oh my God.
Going to her gravesite and kicking and throwing
disgracing
her
the grave
flowers around and peeing on her grave. So James takes this motherfucker to civil court.
Fuck yeah.
And he sues him for a wrongful death. And he also wants, basically at the end of this, he wants to stop Steve from collecting her life insurance payments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They go to trial. They show the gravesite footage, which Steve claims he did that because he was just so, it wasn't about Kathy. It was like, because he's so pissed off at her family for like
him so much.
All the shit that they're doing to like ruin his life. Yeah. So that's what he does. But they show the grave site footage. Kathy's mom gets on the stand to testify about the weird fucking sketchy behavior that she had seen from him, which we have already talked about, and talks about the whole spot on the floor thing. They also bring up the botched investigation, which includes the fact that there was no search warrant for the first 3 years.
Yeah.
So by the time they searched the house, there's no evidence left. Also, the crime scene was never taped off and they never took pictures of the crime scene. And they bring up the fact that Steve had told the police that all of Kathy's watches were missing, but they all were found except for the one that she was known to have been wearing the night that she was murdered.
Huh.
Her family wins. Steve is found financially liable and he has to pay the family $150,000. He's also found guilty of vandalizing her grave. Steve later sends his daughters to live with his parents in Alabama. And due to the civil suit, the girls end up no longer having a relationship with Kathy's parents. Oh, they're cut off from them. Steve moves to Houston and gets remarried. And the one interview, I think he gave it to the Daily Mail.
Of course.
But the one interview he gave was basically him pissed off saying that this whole thing has ruined his life.
Oh.
Like, poor him.
Wow.
His oldest daughter, or sorry, Kathy's oldest daughter, Erin, starts a blog called A Billboard in Texas, and it's just about her mom and the family and the case and all the shit that she's had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest daughter, Monica, does die in the 2000s of an overdose.
Oh, damn.
Erin, up until that point, had always defended her dad until her little sister's funeral, in which she said that she finally saw her dad for who he truly is. So he was probably acting a fucking fool at the funeral,
yeah,
being a narcissistic fucking psychopathic piece of shit.
That he is.
And she got to see it because she's been with his parents this whole time.
Right.
She didn't get to see him. So she backtracked a lot on
those feelings. Well, then I would hope that she would then rekindle with the other grandparents.
Didn't see anything about that.
Yeah.
Kathy's family still takes out ads in their local newspaper to celebrate Kathy and Monica for special occasions, holidays, anniversaries. They'll put a little, like, you know, something mm-hmm. in the newspaper. Erin is continuing to work with the new detectives that are on the case and trying to solve the murder because it is still listed as unsolved.
Okay.
She says, this is me paraphrasing because I forgot to write down the quote, but she basically says she really doesn't want her dad to have been the one to kill her mom, but she wants the truth no matter what. And she's trying to put her mom's story and interests and other things about her mom out there because she wants her mom's legacy to be more than billboards.
Yeah.
James, however, Kathy's dad, has no plans to take down his billboards.
Fuck no.
And he says that they will stay there until he dies.
Oh my God, I am so here for James.
Let's go, James. There you go. That's the story of it's Kathy like Page. Andrew, the very tragic story of Kathy Page.
It's like Andrew's parents, right? Wasn't that that other guy's name? The guy that got killed and then they killed the baby.
What?
The episode we did where I had to watch the documentary because there wasn't.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Golly.
I was so in love with his parents. Wasn't his name Andrew?
Or Zach?
Damn.
But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was a rough one. Oh, that was terrible.
His parents, just incredible. Yep. These are the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, Kathy's I love that. Family I'm was so ride or here die for that her.
Energy. Mm-hmm.
I know, 34 is so young, and to have little kids, and it's just a
just about to
tragic.
Start over.
Yeah.
Leaving that piece of shit and getting the opportunity to start over, and it's like, nope.
It's a fucking nightmare.
He's not going to allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, piece of shit is correct. All right.
Well, like you said, the movie is not really about anything, but it's a great movie. And it's Easter-y enough to get us through. So let's go along this journey outside of Ebbing, Missouri in 2017, but not really. What do you think? What time was it for them?
In the movie?
Yeah. Current?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You've seen the movie much.
I know. It's just, but the way that it's filmed and because of where it is in America, it's like sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's a little timeless. You're like, it could be the 70s. It could be the 90s. Could be now. Who knows? Does anyone use cell phones?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, bizarre enough, like, we're listening to this opera in the background while we see through this ghostly fog images of three dilapidated billboards in a row along a stretch of abandoned road that people don't use anymore because there was a highway put in recently.
It's like the plot to Cars.
Nice. The billboards catch the eye of Mildred Hayes, who I'm obsessed with. I feel like I would absolutely be friends with this person. It's real bad bitch energy.
Very much bad bitch energy.
She decides she's going to rent these out for a year. So she contacts the advertising company who owns the land, and they forgot the billboards even existed. They're like, oh yeah, there's a road out there. So she hands the man behind the desk, Red Wilby, $5,000 in cash for the first month and demands a contract so no one can take the rights away from her for the first year.
Okay.
Red thinks this is an easy deal. He's like, obviously I forgot they even existed and you just handed me $5,000.
Yeah, nobody's on that road anyways.
I'm in. Until he reads what she wants the billboards to say. Mm-hmm. But he knows exactly what the situation is, even though I don't. I have no idea what's going on at this point. And he promises that he'll have the billboards up by Easter Sunday.
Okay.
So cheers.
All right, Easter, let's go.
Woo!
Listen, shout out to Jesus for coming back, man.
Amen.
Way to rise again, my guy.
A few nights later, we see drunk Officer Dixon driving along that deserted road, and he sees the billboards. He stops to see what the fuck is going on. And you might remember Officer Dixon was the dad in the 2015 Poltergeist remake that we reviewed at episode 57.
You would be shocked to know that I actually don't remember that at
all.
I don't remember it. I don't even know they remade Poltergeist.
Does Zoe like the bad guys?
Yes.
The wolf?
Mm-hmm.
He's the wolf.
Fun.
Yeah, his voice. Yeah. It's a good voice.
I've definitely seen the bad guys more than I've seen the Poltergeist
obviously
remake.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, let's relate it to you. Uh-huh. He's also like, you're supposed to hate this guy, but you love him. Like, he's just such an asshole. He drives back. He reads the signs. We can't see the signs, but his face says it all.
Mm-hmm.
Dixon immediately calls Chief Willoughby, or should I say Texas Ranger Manny Galt from episode 29, The Highwayman, played by our legend Woody Harrelson.
Oh, my God.
Hey. Yay.
So he's a Texas Ranger and The Highwayman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was just making sure because James, oh, obviously this doesn't take place in Texas. Dad James would love to get the Rangers involved.
Okay.
But he can't get any more attention than he's already gotten. Nobody cares anymore.
That's awful. Willoughby is not pleased having his Easter dinner interrupted by the call. And the next morning, we see the completed billboards read by Mildred's son, Robbie, as she drives him to school. So in like bright red background and bold black print, we read the signs in order. Raped while dying and still no arrests. How come, Chief Willoughby? As you can imagine, this causes quite the scene outside of the local police station. We've got reporters and local people like, what the fuck?
I mean, this is a huge thing in a small town.
Absolutely. And to nail him out, like,
by name.
Mm-hmm. Dixon goes to Red in an attempt to get the billboards taken down, but Red's like, I'm not breaking any laws. And Red also thinks Dixon's a piece of shit and doesn't like the police either. So Fair. He's like, go fuck yourself. Meanwhile, Mildred goes on TV with reporters to explain why she put up the billboards. And this is when I finally learn very little detail, but enough, that 7 months ago, her daughter Angela was abducted, raped, and murdered on that very stretch of road.
Mm-hmm.
She accuses the local police of being too busy getting drunk and harassing the minorities in the town, and then singles Willoughby out as the ringleader and holds him accountable. After seeing the interview, Willoughby goes to talk to Mildred. He's like trying to reason with her. The only evidence we have is DNA, but we don't have any matches.
Mm-hmm.
And we know where Angela was last seen, but besides that, like, there's civil rights laws. What do you want us to do?
Yeah. Our hands are tied.
It's hard to be a police officer in
this
town.
What do you want us to investigate? Right? Oh, you want us to like ask around?
It's like the journalist from Amanda Knox. Like, you want me to look into my sources?
Come on.
God.
The fuck?
He's pleading with her to take down the signs. He even goes as far as to use his cancer diagnosis for sympathy.
Oh, my Lord.
Without missing a fucking beat, Mildred responds, yeah, I know about your cancer. That's why I put the signs up. They wouldn't be as effective if you were already dead.
Oh.
Boom. Dixon tries to use the same approach on Red, trying to make him feel bad for Willoughby. But Red's gay. So, again, he's like, you guys are fucking assholes. And I don't care.
Right.
Like, get a life.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
And then the local reverend tries to get Mildred to remove the signs, telling her it's making the townspeople uncomfortable.
Literally don't care.
Her response? Altar boy fucking makes me uncomfortable, but you don't hear me telling you what to do with your life, so don't tell me how to live mine.
If there was any way I could put Altar Boy fucking makes me uncomfortable as the episode title, I would. But I feel like Spotify wouldn't like it.
At a dentist's appointment, Mildred's complaining about a tooth. And without even examining her mouth, the dentist is going to start drilling. He's clearly friends of Willoughby. Mm. And so she grabs that fucker's hand and stabs him with the drill.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the piece of shit files a report, and of course, Willoughby is more than obliged to take her into the station on an assault case. It's obviously his word against hers, and they're just like having a back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they agree to let things be. However, Willoughby warns her he's going to make her life hell until she takes down these billboards.
Okay.
First, he contacts her ex-husband, who's fucking a 19-year-old in town now. So at least they made him a piece of shit. I respect that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, Sorry. Let me slow down. How dare I?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness. We need to back up, ladies and gentlemen. The ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
a.k.a. Matthew Teeger from season 6, episode 13, Mr. Monk and the Three Julies.
First of all, in episode 13. Second of all, I can't believe you almost skipped past it.
I almost just skimmed right by the monk. Whew.
Thank God you caught it.
Hallelujah. Then they arrest bestie Denise on a marijuana possession. And eventually, they convince Red to go back on the contract. And he claims that Mildred now owes more money that she does not have. She barely had enough to get by the first time.
Yeah.
Fortunately, others in town are just as tired of being fucked over by police, and they've got her back, and someone makes an anonymous donation to keep them up for another month. In a surprise twist, Officer Woody Willoughby shoots himself in the head, leaving behind his wife and his two kids because he didn't want them to see him suffer dying of cancer.
Okay.
And again, he's supposed to be a piece of shit and we don't like him, but it's Woody.
It's hard not to like Woody Harrelson.
And it hits so close to home.
Yeah.
And I'm sobbing. I'm so upset.
I know. Woody is so like naturally charismatic.
Because the acting in this movie is just off the charts.
Yeah. Did you even say who plays Millie? Isn't it Frances McDormand?
I didn't, only because it didn't relate to any past episodes.
No, I know, but she's no, like
she's a legend.
A big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. The officers at the station also don't take the news well. Dixon goes to Red at the advertising company, beats the shit out of him, punches the girl at the reception desk in the face.
God damn, I'm just trying to do my job.
And throws Red from the second story window. News coverage blames Mildred and the billboards for forcing him to suicide, but in what I see as poetic justice, they hire an African American to replace him, and he shuts shit down, starting by firing Dixon, and then these letters pop up that got left behind by Willoughby. So one's to Mildred, in which he expresses disappointment in not solving the case. He also paid for another month to leave the billboards up because he thinks it's funny that it's going to piss everybody off.
Yeah, I love it. Just stir the pot before he goes. God bless him.
Right?
That's so fun.
Dixon is laid off, a drunk, a mama's boy.
Throw him under the bus. I love it.
So he goes and he sets fire to the billboards, which then lights a fire within Mildred. She goes and throws from the smashed out window of the advertising company that he threw Red out of, Molotov fucking cocktails at the police station.
She's a wild woman. I love her.
Thinking that it was empty, Dixon's in there for whatever reason. He got a letter too, and he's dropping off keys. He manages to survive, but he's badly burned. He gets saved by Peter Dinklage. Don't.
What's he doing there?
I'm not going back. I can't tie him in, but just know he's there.
Just know he's just there.
Just know he's there.
Lurking around.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay, so when Dixon's taken to the hospital, because of the burns, his face is all covered in the bandages, and he comes to and he realizes he's sharing a room with Red.
Mm.
And Red being the amazing man that he is, even though he knows that it's Dixon, he, like, pours him a glass of juice with, like, a straw and, like, leaves it by the bed for him.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. Oh, my goodness. And another decent act, a man shows up at Mildred's door the next day. He had helped put up the original billboards and said that extra copies had been made just in case anything happened. Mm. And so together they go out and they put new billboards up. Dixon is now out of the hospital and drinking away his sorrows at a local bar when he overhears a conversation at the table behind him. It's a guy talking about a crime he committed about 10 months ago with some friends, bragging about this chick he landed. And when the guy asks if the chick was hot, he says, yeah, sure. Especially once the gasoline hit her. Because it was like implied that she had been burned. Mm-hmm. Dixon goes out for a smoke, notices that his license plate is from out of town. And so when he walks back in, he's like staring the man down. And it, of course, leads to a fight. Mm-hmm. Dixon purposefully digs his nails into the guy.
Get some DNA.
Exactly. Unfortunately, it's not the guy. He doesn't match anything reported in the area.
He's just another random guy who raped and murdered and put set somebody on fire.
So that's it. Like, Dixon's devastated. And like, he personally calls Mildred to let her know. And he's like, I'm convinced this guy is a piece of shit. Like, mm-hmm. whether or not he's the one that killed your daughter, he did something similar to somebody.
Mm. Crazy.
And although she's disappointed, she says it's the most hope she's ever had at finding justice. And that good feeling was enough while it lasted. And this is where the movie takes an unexpected turn. Mm-hmm. That's really fun. Because they almost like join forces.
Yeah.
And they decide that they're going to drive together to go like kill the guy. Okay. Like, it's left open. You don't know what they're going to do. But basically, they agree, like, something needs to be done.
Yeah.
And so they get together in the car. And as they're leaving, we see the billboards in the background. And Mildred lets him know that she set fire to the police department. And he's like, yeah, bitch, no one else was crazy right. enough to fucking do that.
So
like,
we figured that out.
We knew it was you.
We can't solve your daughter's murder. But we knew that you threw Molotov cocktails through our windows.
And then he's like, so, you know, are we really doing this? Like, are we going to go kill this guy? And she's like, I don't know, but we got the drive to figure it out. And they just like drive off together.
Fantastic.
What a fucking movie, man.
What a movie. And way to like keep it unsolved, just like the real case.
Yeah. So it has just enough. I feel like this movie has the Easter eggs of your movie.
Ah.
Ha ha ha.
Love it.
Right. This is the Easter egg version.
Yeah, they have the weird ex-husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. So what do you give it? How many knives?
So obviously,
how many Molotov cocktails?
Right. As far as like matching the case, it's like a...
Yeah, but I right. like you to rate it on like how much you enjoyed the movie.
Five.
Five knives.
Five.
That's, I think that's more important than how well it matches.
And the
how
fact,
enjoyable is it?
And how lucky for me, because I was nervous that it was going to be a lot harder for you. Because I'm like, oh my God, is this going to be some depressing child rape case that we're going to get really into?
Yeah.
So it was light enough on your end. And then we only had a week. We were scrambling. Mm-hmm. So I was like... to have like a movie I actually enjoyed really made it easier to just be like, oh, okay.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. We love to see it.
Yeah.
There are some great cases that have happened on or around Easter. There's just no movies based on them.
So. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. And there's some great Easter horror movies that are just not based on anything.
There's going to be a Blood and Honey 3 already.
They already made 2?
Yeah.
Like released it?
Apparently. They're pumping that shit out.
Well, there is a ton. There's a whole line. You should start watching it for Easter. There's a whole line of like Easter Bunny horror movies.
Okay.
There's like sequels.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Fun.
So there you go. Great.
Okay. So to circle back to the beginning of the episode, and I talked about shopping with my mom.
Uh-huh.
We went to Lush because we don't have one.
No. God, no. We are so far away from having a Lush. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I really wanted to smell Super Milk. They're like leave-in body hair conditioner.
That's all over TikTok all the time.
Right? I really needed to smell it for myself because I wasn't willing to buy it.
I almost bought it.
I know. Right? Because you can't buy a sample. Mm-hmm. Like you can buy samples of perfumes, but you can't buy a sample of that.
Nope. I almost bought it.
It's the way the Lush store smells, mm-hmm. that like herbally, medicinally almost, with lemon meringue pie mixed in.
Okay.
Like to me, it was not milky.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It was nice. And I told you I sprayed it all over Violet because she was clean.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're the perfect clean slate. I sprayed it all over her hair at the beginning of our shopping trip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I went to Sephora, which was directly across the way.
Yes.
And I got the Rare Beauty. What the fuck are you called? Comfort Hair Body Mist.
Okay.
Okay. And I sprayed myself. And then we did our shopping. We're walking back and we're about to get in the car. And I'm like, oh, I want to smell Violet. Mm-hmm. And I want to smell me. And I want to go figure out which one I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
So I smell Violet and I could not smell her.
Dang.
And all people say is that they'll go unwashed for days and people will just rave about how much I could not smell her.
Yeah.
Like I really pushed my face into her hair.
Yeah.
It was not impressive. So I ended up going with the Rare. And I really enjoy it. The way I would describe it, we've talked about it in the past, is like a hotel lobby.
I love a hotel lobby.
Or like a really expensive department store.
Yes. This is the smell I want everything in my life to smell like.
So it is a comfort body hair fragrance mist with notes of lemon, jasmine, and cashmere and wood.
I love it when something has cashmere listed. Which, by the way, what exactly does cashmere smell like?
Right? It just gives you that warm, cozy feeling. And
that like cottony, mm-hmm. fresh, cozy. I love it.
I really like the bottle. Shake it.
Okay.
And it's a fine mist.
Shake it ASMR.
It's satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, comes off easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hold it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. I know you're supposed to hold it.
But yeah.
I love it.
Because how else would you describe that? It's not like a perfume. It's not like a cologne. It's not like a deodorant.
And I mean this in the best way, but it almost smells like tape or paperwork. I don't know. But I don't, that sounds like I'm saying it doesn't smell good.
You
it
love the smell of good. Books. So that yeah, makes sense I mean. For you.
It's like a very neutral, like you said, not too musky, not sweet.
No. I honestly, I wouldn't have been able to tell you the notes had I not read them off the internet.
No, I can definitely smell the citrus in
mm-hmm.
it. But it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of smells, a little bit like an Office Max, but in a good way.
I say it smells like a high-end department store. You it say does. It smells like an Office Max.
I'm just saying, like, you know that like office supply smell? I like that smell.
I know. That's why it is. It's a comforting.
It's like clean.
It's a comforting smell. I think whatever your comfort is, that's what you can
relate. Well, I think
it
it's a clean smell. Mm-hmm. So like a clean hotel lobby, mm-hmm. a clean department store, clean sheets of paper,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very clean, fresh smell. And I love that. It smells great.
And it is cozy. And I like it.
Mm-hmm. I do have one beef with Rare Beauty.
Okay.
So they are known for, and I love this concept, that all their packaging is easy, that their bottles and stuff are easy to use if you have like a handicap or a disability or whatever. We recently got some Rare Beauty products in the salon for mm-hmm. our makeup because we have about 100,000 weddings booked in the next few months. Mm-hmm. So we got in some new shit. We got some Rare Beauty stuff. So while the tubes and the things are easy to use, they are goddamn hard to get out of the packaging. The outside packaging, the boxes mm-hmm. and the things that they're taped up in and actually getting the lids off and everything. I was struggling and I do not have a physical disability that I know of. So I just thought it was a little like, why?
Right. If you're going to make something so user friendly, then make it easy to get out of the box. Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm with you. I love that review because this didn't come in anything. This is just how you buy it.
It smells great. I keep smelling myself. It smells wonderful.
Uh-huh. So my only problem is the longevity.
Oh, it doesn't last.
It does not. But again, it's a mist.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that expensive. I think it's $28.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the end of the world. But I do, when I catch myself smelling it, it's like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I don't know if I would spray it on my self a lot. I feel like I like my scents to be a little bit deeper.
Right.
A little bit smokier, a little bit sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
But I would for sure spray it around my house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe spray it in my hair.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, guys. If you've ever been curious about either one, this is the type of lemon that I lean towards versus the way that they did the lemon in the super milk.
Which is like a lemon meringue.
It
like
was very, lemon. It was very lemon
yes,
meringue.
Yes, this just has a nice like citrusy kick to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was I just thinking about? Now the new one I keep seeing, which again is supposed to be like a skin, hair, whatever. I think they say to get it at Target and it's supposed to be like warm vanilla.
Oh, it's Ashley Tisdale. Yeah.
I don't know. It comes in like an amber bottle.
You got Frigine or Frenchie.
Maybe. The problem is that my mom's a hardcore vanilla wearer.
So you have a hard
time. So anytime I smell vanilla, it's not that my mom smells bad. She smells great. She smells like vanilla.
Yeah.
But I don't want to smell like my mom. Mm-hmm. And that's just, and she does everything vanilla. Like yeah. her candles in her house are all vanilla. And I guess I am turning into that in my age just with my smell. So all my shit's fireside marshmallow, my perfumes, my fucking candles, mm-hmm. my room sprays. She's that way with vanilla. So mm-hmm. I'm sure it smells great, but I don't want to try it.
Right. So that's where I stick to like the cashmere vanillas.
Cause I do feel, like a nice cashmere.
Mm-hmm, I feel like it takes it to like a more elevated note.
Yeah. And not I feel just like cashmere always feels like linen. And I like the smell of linen. It
versus like the sugary pastry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like the linen, the crisp.
Exactly.
Great.
So there you go, guys. We got it for you.
I recently bought, it's all worn off my lips right now, which is probably negative on the review points. I got the Clinique, what is it, Black Cherry?
Ooh.
Lip.
It's a
non-lipstick.
Pause. Pompelme or limon?
I'm sorry. What's the second one? Lime. Lemon? Lime?
Lime.
I'll take a lime, please.
I'll give you the one closest to the ice.
Ooh, thank you.
You get the bottom to my top. Ooh, black honey.
So the Clinique Black Honey lipstick, but not a lipstick. I can't remember what they call it.
Is it a tint?
Kind of, but it doesn't stay on your lip as a tint. It's almost like a tinted chapstick is how it feels. People have been raving about this for years, and they talk about how all the 90s It girls were wearing it. They even go as far as claiming that Liv Tyler was wearing it in Lord of the Rings. And I bought it. Feels good on my lips. It does give your lip a little bit of color, but it's never as saturated as what they make it out to be online. It is not a heavy, which is fine. I knew it wasn't going to be a heavy saturation, but it's like almost completely sheer.
Yeah.
So I know for a fact Liv Tyler, if she was not wearing that shit in Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
it definitely feels more like a lip balm. Like I feel like you could save yourself the $25 or whatever it was and just get yourself like the darkest shade of like Burt's Bees and you'll be fine. It's the same thing.
I really want to try a lip tint.
I do too. That might be the next thing I buy.
Because I eat all my lip products off. They're gone immediately.
Well, that's because you won't use my lipstick.
The latest one, the Fenty one?
No. The you could either do Maybelline's Superstay Ink, or you could do NYX's. I have to look it up. I think it's like suede.
I've done the NYX. I eat it off. I get butthole lips.
How? It stays on my face all day long.
I have.
You're not applying it correctly.
I'm the worst.
Are you putting it over concealer?
No.
So I put, like, because I always have to do, like, concealer or foundation or something around my mouth because I have acne scars. And I just put it on my lips. And I'll even put a little bit of powder on there to, like, dry it out all the way. And then I put it on. And you see me. That shit stays on all day. I'll drink all night with it. Eat pizza after we've been out drinking all night. And I'm good.
Okay.
The only way I can get it off is with fucking oil.
So, concealer, powder.
Yeah.
Well, give it a go, ladies.
Also, I'm super well practiced in wearing lipstick, right? That's part of it. It's just knowing how to eat and drink with lipstick on. But that shit doesn't budge.
Like when we went out with Jackie and we all had the red lips and hers was like all over her face. We're like, my love.
Was it? I don't remember.
Yeah. I think it's because like you ordered like a bowl or something like really easy to eat. And she like ordered something you had to like bite into and you're like, babe, your lipstick is about to be everywhere.
Also, like, that's true. But today for lunch, I had a breakfast burrito in the middle of my day. Didn't even move it.
Incredible.
Just telling you. Anyways, yes, I agree with you. I want to try a lip stain as well.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It seems so convenient.
I bet you the Clinique Black Honey would look great over a lip stain. Ooh. That's what I'm having. That's what I'm finding myself having to do is I'm having to put a little bit of color on my lips first before I use it. So there you go. There's your review. Clinique Black Honey. It's not as great as they make it out to be.
See, that's, I want honest reviews. Everyone has to say something nice because they're either looking for the attention because they want the sponsors or they already have the sponsor and then they feel obligated to the sponsor to say something nice.
Yeah, I will say the only thing that you're going to get with Clinique is the same thing that you're going to get with any like luxury or semi-luxury line, which is the packaging's nice.
Of course.
The tube it comes in, really chic. You know, we talk about all the time. Clinique is a classic.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with it. Beautiful silver. So you feel like fancy using it, but the actual product on your lips, you could do that really dark shade of Burt's Bees and get the exact same.
Well, while result. We're at it, do you want to try my End of the Stars hand sanitizer?
Sure. Sanning me up, baby.
Uh-huh. Because Violet didn't like the smell of anything at Lush, we went to Bath and Body Works. And that shit will linger for what seems like forever.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It smells like it with the good hand sanitizer alcohol kick, which I really like.
I do too.
I like that smell of
They had pure chemicals sale in my nose. Where she could get like six and she got a little holder.
Yeah.
So she's got it on her backpack.
And yeah, my son did the same thing. My 11-year-old son.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, he got his stupid, I can't remember what it is. I think he picked out the gummy bear.
Oh, cute. She got the cloud with the gemmed rainbow like raindrops.
That one's way better. Well,
I thought so.
And I'm like, whatever. We won't get into it. But also, he always talks me into buying like one more product so he can get the free whatever. He's like, we get free socks if you... I'm like, God damn it.
Well, that was it. I didn't want six lotions or six anything. And I was like, well, your little hand sanitizers that are cute with the holder,
smells so good.
You get three, I'll get three.
Love it.
Yeah, that was a good compromise.
All right. Well, there's our product reviews, guys. Hope you enjoyed it.
My blow.
Oh, yeah, your blow.
Has nothing to do with the actual case, which is nice because it's less pressure.
Yeah.
Did you get my text?
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the movie. Why is she dressed like a mechanic?
I don't know. Why she wearing coveralls?
So I didn't bring it up because it has nothing to do with the case or the movie. But this woman smokes so much pot. She works at like a souvenir store, like where they sell like trinkets.
Yeah.
She's dressed like a fucking trucker. She's dressed like she's working at a mechanics. Like, it's crazy.
It's literal coveralls.
I brought my Michael Myers coveralls.
Yeah, I was like, you should bring your Michael Myers.
I had to.
Yeah.
And then she has the red sleeves. So I stole Nick's Christmas sweatshirt that I got him for Christmas this year. Big Nick energy.
I love it.
And then, you had just cut my hair, which is perfect because her hair is short. And when she wears it up, it's crazy. And my hair is crazy, as it should be. Matches the personality.
I think there is something to the idea of like, and it's not an idea I agree with, but because she is bringing bad bitch energy and she's so strong that they can't have her look like feminine or sexy.
I get that. It would not have worked feminine
but
and
I
sexy.
I think that's a cool idea, though, because you can be both things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be cool if she was kind of more feminine and still brought the big bitch energy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think that you have to look or dress like a man to, like, live in that kind of power.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's also stating that she, like, only cares about one thing right now, and that's justice for her daughter.
Right.
Like, she doesn't have time to care about hair and makeup and cute outfits. Mm-hmm. She's on a fucking mission.
Yeah.
So I get it.
So that's going to be my look. And I'm like, are there any local billboards we can walk to?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
There is not.
So it'll just kind of be me being a salty, badass bitch.
Okay, badass bitch.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's go, Mildred.
All right,
you
perfect.
Imaginary person.
To see pictures of Bee's blow, Bee's look of the week, check us out on Instagram, THC Podcast.
We're back.
Yeah.
We're back, bitches.
Yeah, we're back.
It's exciting.
And if you have anything to say, feel free to say it to me in my DMs.
About Bridgerton specifically.
Or anything you want. I don't care. Tell me anything you want. And if you want to leave us a review, it's always appreciated, especially a 5-star review. But, you know, you just do whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. But we love you and thank you for listening. And we will
see you
next time.
Bunnies, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bunny, bye.